Chapter 14. Christ and Christmas Continued. My story is told in Christian Science, The New Story of Christ. Mary Baker Eddy, 1893. One Christian Scientist who was untouched by the World's Fair in Chicago was James Gilman. During all the preparations and arrangements, he was completely absorbed with the illustrations for Christ and Christmas. Gilman recorded an unusual event in July. When Mrs. Eddy was right with God, she could not be moved, which was expressed in a peculiar way while she and Gilman were working on the picture, Seeking and Finding. This incident is doubly interesting, considering the fact that Mrs. Eddy was 50 pounds lighter than she had been a few years earlier, remaining feather light the rest of her days. At this time, the question was as to the position of the hand on which the head of the woman in the picture was lightly resting. To get this more surely accurate, Mrs. Eddy consented to sit as a model with her head resting lightly against her hand, as in the illustration. After I had sketched the main lines of her face and figure with the hand resting against the head, I felt the need of her position being just a little different, so little that I thought best not to ask her to rise and move, lest she move too much. And so I took the few steps to where she was sitting and said to her that if she didn't object, I would like to move her just a little. She smiled, but didn't object. And I took hold of the chair in which she was and did my best to lift the chair a little, including the occupant. I could lift 100 pounds of grain easily, but I found I could not lift or move Mrs. Eddy. In the work of perfecting this illustration, Mrs. Eddy often quoted to her artist at the easel, quote, "Trifles make perfection, but perfection is no trifle," end quote. One point which he may have considered a trifle is the position of the hands of the clock on the wall. In some reproductions, this is quite indistinct, but in a clear print, it is very obviously 1205. The book of the woman is Revelation. When we apply Revelation 12:5 to the illustration, Seeking and Finding, it is the story of Mrs. Eddy's fulfillment of prophecy. Quote, "And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne," end quote. Many messages for the sincere seeker after truth are hidden in the pages of Christ in Christmas. Another is found through the clock in the seventh picture, Suffer Little Children. Therein, the Bible of olden faith is closed. The little child sitting in the light is reading the open pages of Science and Health. In a clear print, the time on the clock in the background is easily read as 5:05. Turning once again to the book of Revelation, we find this message. Revelation 5:5. "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Before the end of July, Gilman was working with the Concord Monitor office to get photographs of his paintings for the book. Then, in August, Mrs. Eddy wrote one more stanza to complete her poem and sent it to him. No blight, no broken wing, no moan. Truth's temple can dim. Eternal swells its music tone in heaven's hymn. On Thursday morning, the 3rd of August, the two artists began work on the picture to accompany this closing stanza. The last illustration, she said, must be a representation of the Ascension. We deliberated whether it would be best to have the central figure a woman or to represent Jesus. It was decided that the time had not quite come for the woman to be represented in such a picture. To be too fast in such a case, with even one illustration, would be to spoil the good effect of the whole work, Mrs. Eddy said. Two other things of import happened to Gilman on that Thursday. One is related to his sense of lack and poverty. Many times during their work on the illustrations, Mrs. Eddy had endeavored to open Gilman's eyes to the understanding that all business is God's business and should be handled in a business-like and profitable manner. While walking from the new boathouse to the house, Gilman mentioned to Mrs. Eddy that Mr. W.W. Brown, the photographer in Concord, had proposed making some pictures of Pleasant View. She replied that she would like to have him do so, adding, quote, "And you can get it copyrighted. I want you to have the copyright. You can pay him in any way that you like, but you have the pictures made to suit you and get a copyright." End quote. The other incident occurred later the same day. Gilman had been very pleased with his first design of The Way and had returned to Pleasant View to show it to Mrs. Eddy. After examining the sketch, which she thought excellent, she mentioned topics that some students from the Far West had just been discussing with her. In 1893, the United States of America experienced the worst economic panic in its history. The leader said to Gilman that malicious animal magnetism had been trying to precipitate evil all over the land, leading into all sorts of sin and destruction, adding, quote, "I have been holding it back," end quote. Gilman was totally uncomprehending, so the ensuing conversation was less than satisfying. Later he wrote, "I have since seen that it was probably the financial storm and distress with the throwing out of work of thousands on riotous tendencies among the lawless unemployed, etc., that she referred to as the work of malicious mind. My first sense at the time was that she was claiming power that was presumptuous in claiming that she was holding back the seemingly universal evil precipitation." How limited was his understanding of both the discoverer and founder and of Christian Science? Why should we think evil to be natural and universal and good limited? He had read in his textbook that Jesus, quote, "held uncomplaining guard over a world," end quote. But what did that mean to him? He did not understand the meaning nor the fact that Mrs. Eddy was doing the same thing. How did Jesus hold uncomplaining guard over a world? He said, quote, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me," end quote. In 1893, Mrs. Eddy said something very similar to James Gilman. Quote, "Monday she consoled me, saying regretfully that she had to talk to me severely for my good, adding that she had to talk to herself in the same way, or rather, she added, I used to do so, as if now it was not necessary," end quote. Perhaps in later years, this helped Gilman to see the magnitude of Christian Science and to begin to comprehend the individual responsibility of Christian Scientists. The next week, while working with Mrs. Eddy on some changes to Seeking and Finding up in Benny's room, some visitors who were looking over Pleasant View looked in and went on, which prompted the following conversation. Quote, "These rooms will all be interesting to visitors after I am gone," end quote. And then soon she added, quote, "I ought to be gaining the victory over death, hadn't I? That is what I have been preaching," end quote. I said what an immense work that would be. I then asked her, "What constitutes a victory over death? Is it to live in this life perpetually?" She said, "No, at least not to be visible to mortals to much extent. We overcome death when we fully overcome material sense, and then it is not able to behold us, because spirit is not appreciable to matter." I said, "I suppose that in that stage of advancement, we shall still have a body that will be just as real to us as this body. Not in a finite, personal way," she said. I said I could not separate in my thought the idea of my identity from its embodiment in some form. "That is true," she said. "Your identity will have its embodiment, but it will not be finite in form and outline like this personal body. I think of our existence in that state more as we think of one who, in some crisis, rises to vigorous, noble action that is characteristic of that one's nature. We do not think of a person's body at such times, but of the force of mind, of the spiritual import." Gilman met with a good deal of resistance to Christian Science and to Mrs. Eddy at the Concord Monitor office, and got no clear photographs of his illustrations until he began to handle animal magnetism while the work was being done. However, after a month had elapsed, and they still had nothing satisfactory, Mrs. Eddy called upon Mr. Pearson, the business manager, who readily admitted that the making of the plates was a failure. He knew not why, but Mrs. Eddy understood, for she had met with error's resistance to truth in all her endeavors. On the 24th of August, Gilman's inklings in this area were greatly enlarged. Early that morning, Mr. Fry brought him a message to come to Pleasant View at 9 a.m. Before starting, it began to storm so heavily that he thought he would not be expected, but decided to go anyway. Mrs. Eddy welcomed me with a cordial grasp of the hand. She immediately afterward began to say that there was a work ready to be done, and asked, "Now, Mr. Gilman, are you ready for the work God has for you to do?" I replied that I believed that I was, according to my ability. Upon this, she extended her hand, and we clasped hands as if to solemnize a sacred compact. You know how they have failed here at the publishing house to bring out these pictures. You see how malicious mind or antagonism to Christian Science is working to prevent this work from being brought out. I told her I had seen and learned a lesson and should now know better how to intelligently combat it. She continued, "It has been just so with the publication of Science and Health and Introspection. The presses would snap or refuse to work, or the pressmen would be sick. 15 men were flat on their backs with sickness at one time, and they could not go on with the work until we took up the work, healed the men, and handled the difficulty mentally in Science. I know the source from which this comes. It is theosophy. That is the form the arch enemy takes now. They are concentrating all their energies against Christian Science, for they know it is their foe of foes. I could tell you of things that have happened here in consequence that would startle you, but I won't frighten you. It works in the form of electricity, but it has no power." The storm outside was now furious, and the gale shook the casements and jarred the house, while the rain was driven violently against the window panes. I said, "The elements seem angry this morning." "Do you see how it is?" said she with a knowing look. "But God will calm the storm." I told her I had been tempted by the thought that she would think me foolish to come up in such a storm. "Do you see how animal magnetism is continually suggesting an opposite course to the right one? But now the work we have in mind. God has told me we must hide the child, and I want you to be all ready to start for Gardner, Massachusetts next Monday morning. I have arranged it with Benny. He will meet you there. I have had the pictures sent in a stout box to him by express. And Benny has promised that he will help you, and you are to help the man who gets up the reproductions to do the work right. But you are not to tell him for whom the work is being done." Then she said interrogatively, "Do you know how to keep a secret? They say a woman can't keep a secret, but I have learned how. Let no one know that you have a secret, and then you can keep it. You are not to tell anyone here where you have gone, but tell them you are going for a while to some town that you know you will pass through, so that you need not lie to them." Gilman left for Gardner the following Monday morning, the 28th of August, and returned a week and a half later, on the evening of September 7th. He felt his mission had been a success, and went immediately to Pleasant View to show the proofs to Mrs. Eddy. At first, Mrs. Eddy felt as he did, highly praising each proof as she saw it, and calling Laura Sargent to admire them with her. But the success of his mission was marred when she asked if there were any other proofs out. I answered, no, except that the doctor had taken a set with him to Boston. Her first word was to Mrs. Sargent, there, Laura, did I not tell you so this morning? I knew there was something wrong with the doctor. Did you ever see anything like it? The way that boy disobeys me. To think that after I had expressly told him not to do this very thing, he should go and do it. Oh, oh. Mrs. Eddy had felt that her illustrated poem should be ready for the Parliament of Religions later in the month. But now she wrote to Gilman, I shall not get out of my book for Chicago, as I have anticipated, but shall finish my book when God tells me to. But I shall wait on him. On him alone can I trust. Man works against us both.